What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
And this is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.
All right, y'all. So how y'all been this week?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. What about you, Keith?
Pandemic-ing.
Still.
Still pandemic. That's going to be my answer for every episode until we have this pandemic. I'm tired of wearing masks.
And the sad thing is, like, numbers are spiking up, so it don't look like it's going to be no time.
So we're going back. Going back, back to Cali. Basically, we're going
back. To the house.
We're going back to the house.
But the crazy thing is, like, I was thinking, like, even when this is over, like, I'm going to wait about a month or two after the last person.
Don't nobody want the cooties?
Like, for real. Like,
I don't want cooties.
As much as I want to go back, I'm like, I'm going to wait about a month or two.
Yeah, because I don't trust y'all.
Like, for real.
I don't. I just, like, I trust y'all because we here.
Right.
In the vicinity. But everybody else is going to Miami and Vegas and,
Atlanta. That's the one.
It is. Hostess.
All right, y'all. So I got a question. What is one of your favorite memories from being in church? I mean, young, old, or whatever you want to say. Like, what is your one of your favorite memories you can think of?
I think one of mine. So, my dad was a deacon. He's been a deacon, like, as long as I've been alive. Like, he became a deacon the year I was born. So, growing up, I was generally always one of the last ones to leave church.
Mm-hmm.
So, on Communion Sundays, when there wasn't a big turnout, me and my friends, who were the preacher's kids, we were able to drink the last of the remaining of the communion juice and eat all the communion crackers. So, yes, we had snacks after church.
Hey, came in handy. Right.
'Cause I'm like, but you, like, but you knew they, like, kind of tried to put that juice back in. How long does juice stay? You
know what I'm saying? We didn't.
Like that? Oh, yeah, y'all did.
They done put
Thank
it back
you
in our
for not putting I, that back in
back.
The bottle.
I done seen some stuff.
Oh, he didn't let him. We was like,
no.
But it was so funny because, like, for us, we was eyeing it. We was like, okay, I want that one. You got that tray? Okay, I got that tray. We was eyeing it. As soon as they said amen, we was up there.
Silver plates everywhere.
Yeah, we was definitely drinking the rest of the juice because we would be there, one of the last ones there.
Yep.
Because when I used to go to church with my cousin, we'd be there last because they want to sit there and have conversations and everything. So we'd be in there in the back. Look, that juice out. Let me go ahead and get this real quick.
But what is it?
Let me go ahead and take that off your hands.
It's like, what is it about church that make you so thirsty, though? Like, you just be sitting there in thirst, like, parched.
Because you just sitting there.
Because I'm telling you, because, like, I literally, you know how old school pastors, they had the little orange juice or water or whatever up there, and that just looked so good. It was like the thirst quencher. It was like the biggest Gatorade or something that you wanted to drink.
It was so because, like, you saw the water, the perspiration glistening down.
Glistening. It's like, yo, you about to take a sip? Like, share.
Like,
yeah, like, share the wealth.
It
like,
tastes good, it tastes good, don't it?
Orange juice looks so good back
so
in the day.
So crisp.
Dang, I'm thirsty, huh? Hungry and thirsty.
Oh, that is hilarious.
So I just thought about a story from when I used to go to church with my cousin. So one time, I can't remember who it was. I don't want to say it was one of my cousins. But somebody got in trouble in class.
Uh-oh.
And so I just remember we were sitting in the pews, and the Sunday teacher told, you know, hey, such and such was acting up in class. I just remember sitting there, and where we were, there were two side doors you can go out to go to the classroom. And, of course, they had the windows. Mm-hmm. So all I saw was whoever's parent it was and that child out in the hallway, and they got a beat in
Lord.
Church.
Spare the rod. What is it? Spare the rod.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. Mm.
And I just remember sitting there like, ooh.
Not today, Satan.
I'm glad it wasn't me.
Oh, my God. You just made me remember. Like, some of my mom was in the choir, and it was several times. I got that look. I was doing something, and I look up.
Oh, yeah. They sitting up there with their fingers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They look at you from the choir stand. It's right. Like, ooh.
Like, how you see me? You supposed to be watching the director. How you see me?
I'm about to get in trouble.
I got my eye on you and the director. Don't worry about what I'm doing up here.
Or don't make them get up while they up there and, like, signal you to come down. You be like, oh. Because the church I went to, like, you had to walk basically you had to walk past the the bottom to get to the bathroom or anything else. Oh, yeah. You was going to have to pee yourself because you ain't want to see everybody.
Right. Right.
But if your mama got up and you walked past, everybody knew you was in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
Take the long walk around, walk outside and go back to the...
Right.
Oh, I had to leave.
Oh, man.
I need to get some air.
All right, I had to get something from the car. That's what she wanted from me. I had to get something from the car.
Tell us some. if you had to get some air, why your eyes puffy? Why your eyes puffy, though?
Nah, but I just remember from the story of the beating, they came back and they were sitting there and they was just looking so angry because they just got beat in church. And I was just sitting there like, "Ooh, thank you, Lord, it wasn't me."
Right.
It could have been me.
It could have been me outdoors screaming at the top of my lungs.
No, but you had to be quiet because the preacher was in there preaching.
Right, because you were still right there.
This was during service.
Yeah.
So, because Sunday, we had Sunday, class before we would go into the main service.
Mm-hmm, we did
so
too.
Yeah, you got beat while the pastor was up there preaching.
That is
and true. Had to come back in and still and be quiet.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't be sniffling. Don't be saying nothing.
Can't even show
be
people you
quiet.
Mad.
But the crazy thing is, okay, I know we all off, but like, dude, how parents beat you and then be like, stop all that crying. I'm hurting. How can I stop crying? I'm hurting.
Because I love you.
Right.
You better have had a grandma with a butterscotch in or a peppermint in her purse.
They always had it, man. We're going to keep going up. But they always had candy. Like, it was always some candy in the purse.
No, but the strawberry candy.
Oh, yes.
Strawberry candy. That's what my grandma's already had.
Mm-hmm. My aunt would have that in her purse. My grandma would have butterscotch and peppermint.
Okay, last thing. Go ahead.
I feel bad because my grandma had the orange, the multivitamins, that orange flavor, and I used to crush them because I was like, "Yo, these things is something."
She was building your
immune system. Vitamins.
Your immune system is on fire.
I used to crush them just like, "Yo, this is bomb." Full of vitamin C.
Oh, man.
Okay, for real, last thing. So, why when Halloween came out, why they show all the bags? Y'all remember, the little Heaven and Hell socials when they used to give the kids the orange, the apple, and the walnuts in the brown paper bag?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo. I was like, the memories, because I used to hate it, because I'm not a fan of any type of nuts. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, can I just get the fruit?
All
right. Can we get a bag with the fruit? And it was like, so y'all ain't gonna give us no candy?
I'm about to say, I didn't even want that. I wanted the candy.
It's
like giving somebody a lump of coal for Christmas.
Like legit.
Why
would you even?
Are y'all punishing me?
Like legit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You got it for Christmas too.
Wait till these Christmas episodes because I got a lot about that.
All right, y'all. Okay. We're going to get serious.
Okay,
for
we sorry. We back.
All right, y'all. So this week we are talking about being on a journey. We are all on this journey as far as discovering our relationship with God, growing closer to God, and your relationship with God is your relationship. It's no one else's. So we just want you to understand, look, none of us have made it. We aren't perfect. We are still trying to figure it out. It doesn't matter whether you're just starting out, returning, still on it. We all have hills and valleys that we are going through on this journey. So we just want you guys to understand that. And we need to continually seek out our relationship with God. It's not something that just will happen.
So, one thing about that journey is that the main focus of our journey as Christians is to do, as God said, and as he called the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28:18-20, he says, or reads, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. So one thing that we are to do is, number one, teach ourselves how to, like, what it means to be a Christian. And one of the first things is understand who Jesus is to us, who God is to us, who the Holy Spirit is to us.
Right.
And it's like, we have to learn who he is to us before we can go out and tell anybody else about it.
Right. Yeah, that's important. Like, I don't think people really think, because we kind of get stuck in that, you know, my first thing is to go to church.
Right, but, right. And it's like, especially if we grew up in church, because right. it's like, again, y'all heard us say plenty times, we weren't taught this. We were just told, mm-hmm. go to church, believe in God, that's it.
Right.
Basically.
The religious aspect of it.
Right, right. And we weren't taught about the Trinity. I mean, we knew about Jesus, we knew about God, we knew about the Holy Spirit, but we never knew how, like, really how they are one, but yeah, they are three, right, three beings, but one person, like, one Godhead, whatever. So, and it's, sometimes it's hard, like, for most people, it's hard to kind of really get that on your own. So, I mean, there's books, there's sermons online, there's blogs and stuff that you can go online to find all that information, but
yeah, if, like, you don't hear it from anybody else, you heard it from us.
Right, yeah. Right. But yeah, so one thing, like I said, one thing, the first thing you need to do is just kind of get that understanding for yourself. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is, it's like, I heard a pastor say one time, we can't go to God as servants, we have to go to him as our father.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that, I was like, oh,
my goodness.
Because, again, growing up in church, it's a servant. We are to be servants. Mm-hmm. The Bible mm-hmm. tells us Jesus didn't come to the world to rule it. He came to serve. Mm-hmm. So we have the servant heart, but when we go to God, that's our daddy.
Right.
That's our daddy.
That's the biggest thing.
I was yeah. like, oh.
Yeah, because you don't feel like when you're a servant, you're like, oh, okay, I got to do it because you're saying do it. You're not doing it because mm-hmm. like, no, I feel like this is what I need to be doing.
Right, and then on top of that, it's like when you go and you act as a servant, it's like, okay, I may get it or I may not get
right.
it.
Right.
But if you go as a child, it's almost like, you know, no matter what I did or my circumstances will not keep me from getting this necessarily.
Right.
Right.
Like, there's nothing that I can do to get you to stop loving me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know because you love me, you're going to give me the desires of my heart and give me things that will help, that will bring me closer to you.
It's a different type of fear and reverence.
Right. Absolutely.
Versus, like,
absolutely.
Being a
absolutely.
Servant versus being a child.
Absolutely.
It is. I think what happens is, if you think about it, like, with a child is going, like, my child is always going to know, okay, I'm mad at her. Mm-hmm. Well, not always gonna know I'm mad at her. Let me try and figure it out.
Always?
So, but no, right. not always. Not so always know I'm gonna love her, even though I'm like mad sometimes or she does something that I don't like. I'm always gonna love her. I'm always gonna give her whatever she wants. But she's a child. Like, that's when you're in a child like mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then even the Bible even says, like, when Jesus pulls the kids to him, he's like, you have to come like these,
right.
like
come
these
to
children.
As a child. Yep.
But like, when you go on in life, we think we're adults, but in God's eyes, we're still
children.
But we're literally just on that verge of, oh, no, I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. So how can I look at him, you know what I'm saying, like, as my father, if I'm an adult, like, in the world today, as an adult, you like, okay, I have a parent, but I'm, like,
you're an adult, right?
Yeah, I'm an adult. You're not going to tell me what to do because I'm an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to go back to that childlike mindset. We have to understand that in God's eyes or in the view of God, like, we're always children. We're we're not adults to him. You know what I mean? If that made sense.
No, it makes absolute sense. Because that's something that we all do, honestly.
And it's a forever learning. Like, you're not, like, understanding the Bible, understanding why we're here or all of this other stuff is a forever learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not just going to say, okay, I read the Bible, I understand it. No, that's not how right. it's going to happen. You're going to continuously always be learning something new in life.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that, like, the journey that we're on, like Marquis said, this is an ongoing journey. This is this is not a one and done. This is a something that you continuously do. And one thing that I had to learn and I had to realize is that if I'm to be a Christian and if I'm to be a disciple for Christ, I can't just read the Bible like it's a textbook and be done with it. Like, do it for one semester, 1 year, and think I know all that there is to it. No. Because I have to continuously sharpen myself. I have to continuously build and pour into myself. And going off of the pouring into myself, I can't pour out if I'm not being poured into.
Yeah.
So, that's...
It's important.
It's very important. So then, while we're on the journey, we have our assignments on this journey. And there are different assignments and different roles that we can take in our journey. And being a disciple of Christ is not necessarily being a preacher or a minister.
Right. And I think that's something that people kind of think, like, if I'm going to be a Christian,
right,
that the only people who are gifted are given assignment in this are the pastors.
Right. Or prophets.
Or the prophets. Yeah.
Yeah.
The apostles, you know. Yeah. Like, no.
right.
Like, it literally says in the Bible that, you know, each person will be positioned for a certain reason, for a certain gifting. And you are to use those gifts to bring people closer to God.
Right.
And it may not necessarily even be in the church. Like, your role may not even be to serve in the church. But there are roles that in the church that you can use your gifting for, even still. But people are kind of like, my role is, I'm not given that. I'm just here because I'm told to be here.
Right. I mean, and even in that, like, every role in the church is important.
Yeah.
Whether
right.
you're a gatekeeper, a minister, you're in the choir, praise and worship team, you're an admin, you count the money, whatever you do, you are important. Because it's like, especially like if you're a gatekeeper or like hospitality, somebody could be really going through and they walk in that door and they see you and you give them a hug and you smile at them. That made their day.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you never know how much just a smile and a hug or a high five or whatever can change somebody's life. You never know what that person is going through. You never know. Because it's been stories I've heard, people have been on the verge, like, they were coming to church and on the verge of, or they were thinking about committing suicide after they left. But because somebody came to them, smiled genuinely, and was loving on them, it changed their mind.
Right. I'm about to say, you don't realize how much of a role you can play just by speaking to somebody, and your genuine heart can cause them to open up and just be like, man, I'm going through.
Right.
And in that moment that they thought that this was it, you couldn't completely change how they felt.
And it's like, you don't have to do a whole lot extra. It can just be something simple as just, because for me, like, I don't do it often because that's just me. But just saying hi to people, smiling at people, saying hi to people. Like, you never know.
God bless you. It's the simplest blessing that you can get anybody.
Like, for real.
You know what I'm saying? But I think where that small kind of thing, I'll say it's small thinking because you think that you can't amount to it. Where it comes from is, we put so much emphasis on the word gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
that's good.
Like, yo, it's just a word. A gift. Like, anything can be a gift to somebody. The smallest things, you could give somebody something. You could open the door to somebody and that's a gift.
Right.
But we put the emphasis on it. And it's like, stop putting the emphasis on it and understand that every little small thing that you do, you could have picked up trash.
Right,
and that was a gift to that company or a gift to that church or a gift to anything. It's something small. So don't put that emphasis on it. Because when you put the emphasis on gifts, it's like, no, I can't amount to it. Oh, they're gifted.
Right.
No, the thing is, people say that because it's like, okay, well, their gift is bigger because of what they either learned or went through or whatever. But your situation, you could be talking to somebody about a situation that you went through, let's say money problems or whatever like that. Like, you're gifted in that because you went through it and you were able to explain it again. So gifts don't always have to be like
they don't always spiritual. Come with platforms.
Yeah, platforms or spiritual related.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, even like what you just said with the example of like picking up trash, your gifting was in the details.
Right.
Like, you saw the details of this matters, it shouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is your gifting.
Yeah, it's a gift.
For what you are able to do as far as being a part of the church. Like you said, it doesn't always have to be a platform and be in front of everybody. And once again, not everybody wants to be in front of everybody else.
Sure don't.
Me either.
Yeah.
I'll be in the background. Hallelujah.
So for people to assume that, oh, my gifting has to be shown or a spotlight put on it, that's not true. And if you think that, like, oh, only way for me to actually exhibit my gifts is for everybody to see it, then you might need to reevaluate yourself because...
Right, what's your motive? Check your motive.
Right.
And there's, like, no set standard on how you help people or you help others. Like, people have that illusion, like, okay, if I'm helping them... I got it. Like, you see a bunch of people, and I mean, I get it, but like, if I'm recording myself handing somebody money, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bruh, you really had to go. I drive down the road every day with a little bit of money in my car, and I do see a homeless, you know what I'm saying? I give them something, but I'm not going, hold on, let me record it right quick.
Right. The Bible literally says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right. And but so,
not, but not only that, it's like, how do you know that person won't want their business out there like that?
Right.
That too.
Like
recording somebody for your benefit.
Right. And it's like, for certain people, I get the reason why. Like, so for me, celebrities, like rappers and black athletes, to a certain extent, I get it because the attention that they usually get is generally bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that they want to show that they're doing good. But if you think about it, a majority of their stuff is... when they're having like big turkey drives or big things like that, where it's not necessarily a homeless person, it's just the community, the neighborhood or the hood or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not like a homeless person. Yo, I'm helping this homeless person. It's more so a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's to have a more positive image than a negative image. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I get it, but
every day,
right now,
having
like,
to show that I'm doing something for somebody else,
right?
And that's it's an act at that point.
Or, for clout,
the,
it's
the,
like,
the best part to understand when it's clout and when it's not is the fact that when somebody else is glorifying you,
right?
It's not you doing it. Like you're doing this, and you're like, if I say, hey, I'm about to go give to the homeless or whatever, and I'm just doing it. I ain't recorded, I ain't told nobody, I ain't did nothing.
Right.
Somebody just comes out of nowhere and say, okay, yo, look at, you know what I'm saying? Look at Keith.
Right.
Like,
right.
Keith, let me record this for him. Like, I ain't saying, yo, hold up right quick. Let me post up so you can take a picture. So it's like,
let me fix my hair real
right.
quick.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Let me get a homeless person and be like, hey.
Yeah, like, no, it's like when somebody else is glorifying you, like, that is like, hey, let them do that. Let them do the talking and let them say, yo, that dude helped me.
Right.
Instead of you saying it, like, yeah, I just helped whatever such and such, or I just gave such and such money. No, let that person say, yo, they just blessed me.
Right.
Yeah.
So. And sidebar, don't do it to get that glorification.
Don't
do it so you can get that attention, like, oh yeah, I helped them. If you gotta do that, don't help nobody. don't help nobody.
Yeah, because it's the closest thing to evil. You gotta think about who the devil was. You know what I'm saying? Like, how he wanted that appearance.
That
he wanted, that glorification. Why do you think him and God got into it? Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to be like you. Like, I want that. I want people to look up to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, like, when you get into those type of thoughts, and that's why it says, like be mindful of, like, your boasting and stuff like that. Because you start to, it could become evil.
Yeah.
It could become in different ways. So that's one big thing.
Yeah, and you just want to reiterate, like, God can use you and your gifts. Like, you have to understand, like, everybody's gift is not going to be the same.
Right.
So what you do with that gift is significant, no matter how small of an action that it is towards something. Like, what you do can affect somebody else. And being able to see you doing good, and I start to mimic that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, It's a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chain reaction. Yep. Yeah. So it's just like, look, continue to do what you're doing. Like, don't expect everybody to see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like say you're driving down the street and you just happen to stop at a stoplight and give somebody a dollar. The person behind you may be like, you know what? I need to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it was a genuine act, not out of other people seeing that you actually did it, but that you were doing something for somebody else.
Right. that kind of reminds me of the whole pay it forward thing that was going on a few years ago, where like you'll be in a fast food line and the person in front of you will pay for your meal, so you pay for the person behind you,
right?
And it would send a chain reaction. Or if not in that moment, you will go somewhere and buy somebody, you know what I'm saying, do something for somebody else. And to me, honestly, I think if you don't like put your good acts out there, you have more of an impact than if you do. And I say that because right now, majority of people, we know, the majority of people are doing it only for the recognition, which is to a certain extent turning people off.
Yeah.
But if people are seeing you doing it with a genuine heart, then they'd be like, you know what? I think I may do that.
And we just want you to understand, like, your gifts are important. Like, it literally says in the Bible that everybody, in 1 Corinthians 12, like, everybody will have a different kind of gift, but it's still distributed by the same God. So don't look at it as, I don't have what the other person has. Rather, look at it that what I have is for me, and I'm supposed to use it to farther God's agenda.
Right. So, going back to just the overall journey, and one way that I look at the journey is, so there was a show that I used to watch growing up called Quantum Leap, and it was a show that me and my mom used to watch all the time. We are in the show, the premise of the show was there was a man who was a scientist, and he, or his company, they figured out time travel. So he was the person that tested it out. So he went back in time. But the problem was he got stuck in time, and he was like leaping to different times. And when he would leap into different people. And the purpose of him leaping into these different people were to help them out in whatever problem they were going through in their life. And he had a helper. I think his name was Al or Sal, something like that. But every time he would leap, he would have this person to help him. Be like, okay, this person, this is his name, his or her name is this, this, this. They have this many children. They're going through this. This is what you need to help them with. So once he helped them with that, he will leap into another person. And I like this made me think of our journey, because it's like we said, it's not a one and done thing. It's a, okay, I'm gonna help, I help this person out. Okay, they're good. Okay, now I'll go help this person out. And the helper is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They like the Holy Spirit will help me, not necessarily exactly in this sense where this person's name, this is age, like, but they, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, they will tell, Holy Spirit will tell us, okay, this person needs to be loved. Go tell this person they are beautiful, that I said that they're beautiful. Go just give this person $100, like, and understand, it's not like, everybody's not going to be a project per se, and I hate to say that, but it's not going to be a yearly relationship with them. It legit may be you see somebody in your store and God would tell you, hey, go tell that person I love them, or go tell that young lady I said that she's beautiful, and that just can change their lives. And you may never see that person again. And then there's some people that you are to be a big sister, a big brother, or even mentor, that will be in your life forever or for a season where you're helping them out. So in that sense, it's not like it could look a whole bunch, like a lot of different ways, and like each journey or each person that you help will not look the same. Like there is no set form or like a box that you can look in and just pick the same person out. It's going to be different with everybody that you help.
Yeah, I can use anybody.
Right.
And I think another thing, like understanding your journey. I had an issue with this. I'd say is that other people watch you. Like people are watching you within this journey. So when you fall, people are watching. When you stride, people, you know what I'm saying? Like it's so much that people, because the thing is when you're doing this walk, when you're going through this journey, people are looking for the wisdom from you, because they see you like, okay, look, you're reading, you're doing this, like you always have something good to say, so they're looking for it. And then it's like, it's a standard that you don't, you're almost put on a pedestal and you don't want to be because you're in this journey. But hey, the thing is, you were given this life. Right. And this is what you're supposed to be doing anyway. Like, you're supposed to, like, all of us aren't supposed to be followers. Like, we're born leaders. But
just in your own capacity.
Yeah, to your own capacity. Yeah. Emphasize that. Like, some people can't lead a whole crowd. But that's one of the biggest things. And because, like, I was just like, yo, why are you watching me? Like, why are you comparing yourself to me? I'm no better than you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's something in you that they see that's good, that they want to mimic.
Right. And it was like, man, because I would do it. Like, I would see people and I'd be like, yo, that person is dope. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't never get angry. I always got a hot temper. Like, I got all of this stuff. And I'm like, so I started to compare myself to them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, like, but it's like, and I want to say, with comparison, you got to understand, is a good and then it's a bad within comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm working out and I'm like, all right, yo, like, I see this dude chiseled, like, he actually, like, and, like, his body form is what I want, mm-hmm. so I compare myself mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I want to work out to be like that, and I'm comparing myself to it, but I don't want to get to the point where I'm comparing myself and then getting jealous of that person.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That, like, that's a big thing, because it, like, that jealousy can form. Like, say it's somebody, say church, for example. Like, you got someone that's stepping up in the ministry, and you're like, yo, like, I was looking up to him, but okay, like, now you leaving me behind.
Or not even that. When you started, like, y'all came in at the same time, mm-hmm. with similar stories, but then this person get elevated, and, like, now they on stage taking up offering. Like, what happened? Like... Right. And so it's like it can happen, like you say, it can happen in church, because it's like we doing the same thing, but why right. you?
But my gifting is not your gifting,
and that's the thing. And then not only that, you only see what they do in church,
right?
Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily know what they do at home,
right?
Mm-hmm. You don't, like Kiki said, you don't see them at home on their knees,
right?
Right,
and like really building their relationship. So yeah, it can be hard. But the crazy thing is, like, as Christians, we automatically live in a glass house,
mm-hmm.
especially in these days where the church is being mocked and mimicked so much, mm-hmm. because of the bad seeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's hard being a Christian now, because it's like, it's almost like you got to defend your beliefs,
mm-hmm.
because it's so many false prophets and people who are taking advantage of their platforms and trying to mimic or manipulate people into believing a certain thing for their own agenda, for their own gain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't follow those people.
Yeah.
I don't agree with those people. Their views and opinions does not reflect mine.
Because I think it's just like, the Christianity is just so broad.
Yes.
So you have... It's, I don't know, because I ain't got the statistics on it, so I ain't going to get into it. But it's just, I feel like it's the most hated or most disliked, like, thing. Like, you don't hear that much about, you would hear some stuff about Muslim or the other religions. But people go against Christianity the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can, if you're, I don't know, I ain't going to get into that, because it's statistics behind that.
But, you know, like, I think it's because, from what I've seen, the other religions have more discipline within their religion,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to what we have.
Yeah.
Like, Muslims, they're strict on praying, was it 6 times a day? I could be wrong. Yeah. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. No offense. But, like, a lot of them are disciplined, like... Their religion and their beliefs cause them to be more disciplined in...
They move as a movement.
Right.
Versus scattered. Right.
Whereas we have grace and we abuse the grace, like, oh, mm-hmm. God gonna love me anyway so I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, people do, like, they do mimic us. Like, people who come into the church, they mimic what other people are doing because they're trying to learn. They're right. trying to understand. But we have to be... even though we live in a glass house, even though... We kind of have to, like, watch our steps and stuff. Like, right, we do have to be mindful that people are going to follow us.
Absolutely.
So we have to make sure that we don't cause them to stumble. Like, I mean, it literally says in the Bible, don't cause mm-hmm. your brother to stumble. I mean, we have a responsibility in that part. And that's something that we understand as we're going on this journey. Hey, what I do can affect somebody else. So the things that we bring out as we're growing should mimic the word.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're mimicking the word, other people should be able to mimic that as
right,
well.
Right.
Still, they have a responsibility on their own to
right.
get understanding. But I can understand, like, in the beginning, trying to get into this, they're going to follow what we're doing.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, I get the part, like, not wanting to have to take on so much responsibility, but there's a responsibility that comes with this.
Yeah. Right, right. And, like, I believe one of the biggest responsibilities that we should have is leading people to Christ. So leading people to read and study themselves, not just take what they hear a preacher say or what they hear somebody else say as the Bible, but to actually read the Bible.
Yeah.
And get an understanding for themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think it's the other part of it, too, is like for people that aren't in this Christianity or people that are listening that aren't in the church or looking for a up person, somebody like a big brother, big sister, whatever. The thing is, find the good traits in these people.
Right.
Like, find the good characteristics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, find the things that you can achieve that are good.
Right.
And understand that they will. Ultimately, they'll fall. They'll fail. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one is perfect. They'll fall somewhere. But you can't allow that one fall or their mistake or their the thing that they're going through to
mm-hmm.
push you away from it. You just got to keep, you just take the good traits
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, that's what I'm following. Now, if they do something wrong, you don't follow what they do wrong. You just take the good. You take the good out of it and continue to live your life because your journey is different from theirs.
Right.
Agreed. And I mean, also be aware, like, even in that, like, if that person is making a mistake or you make a mistake, understand that we're not perfect. Like, just like we talked about in our previous episodes, like, you're not perfect. So mistakes will happen. That's why sin is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, avoid trying to go down those lanes or aisles or whatever you want to call it. But if it happens, you know, you can come back from it.
Right.
You know, repent, reconciliation, start over, continue where you're at, whatever it has, whatever you need to do. But in this journey, mistakes will happen. And I mean, you may even make a choice and it ends up being the wrong choice. But that doesn't mean that, like, oh, now you're banned from
right.
from your relationship with God. Like, it doesn't mean that you're banned from the church. I mean, if your church bans you because you make one mistake, that may not be the church for you.
Right.
And I mean, we're going to get into that on the next episode.
Right.
But yeah, just want to put that out there. I mean, there will be times that you may end up in the pit. But that is an opportunity for you to learn. It's not like, oh, I just completely messed up and this is where I'm supposed to stay. Like, you're not supposed to stay in that position.
Right.
You're supposed to grow
right.
from it. Like, mistakes are there for us to grow from.
To learn from, yep. But it's crazy because, like, this kind of goes back to what I was saying before of looking to God as our daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us who have parents, well, pretty much everybody has parents, and I know some of us don't have the relationship that we really want, so we're praying for you guys who are in that situation. But for those of us who have parents, know that many times we can mess up, but at the end of the day, like Marquise was saying with his daughter, no matter how much we mess up, they're still, like, they're still our parents.
Mm-hmm.
We can still go to them. They will still love us regardless. And some parents would even help us to get out of that situation that we're in, help us to not get back to that situation. There
yeah.
are times where if they see it's a continuous cycle, then they'll let us fall on our face. But we have to understand that in that instance, they're still helping us because they know that if they continue to help us, they're being a crutch. But if they let us fall on our face, then we're learning for ourselves. So, again, it's the sense of God being our parent instead of just our master or our servant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put it like this. No one can take your relationship away from you, from
right.
God.
Not even you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, God is there no matter what. Like, you choose a different religion, you choose a different faith, you choose whatever you want to choose, God is always going to be there. And that's my belief. So, but that's basically what the Bible says. Like, he's always there. And I know, like, in a lot of situations, it's possible to get stuck. It's possible to get stuck in a cycle. It's like one of those, like, you have to learn this lesson before you move on. Mm-hmm. But you have to find out what you're learning. It's like a video game in a sense. Like, some of those who know Sega or Nintendo, like, before they got before they got memory cards, you gotta think about it. If you had Sega and you played Sonic, right? The only way you move forward in Sonic is you had to keep your lives, you had to keep mm-hmm. going on, like, you had to beat that, you had to pass that board.
But yeah, like, in that, like, as you're going through the game, you kind of learn, like, okay, if I come up on this this creature or whatever, mm-hmm. what they may do,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, like, what can I get from him, like, right? Do he got something from me or for me to, right. that I need for the next level?
But not even like that, like, yep. how that person may attack me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good too.
If I know that this person or this creature isn't good for me and they're going to come at me this way, then I know how I need to approach this and what I need to do or not do to end up losing my life to this creature.
Yeah. That's
so
good. That's good.
It's like you learn from mistakes from if you lost in that point of the game before. If I come back to this point,
yeah,
I know this is what I need to do to get past this rather than continue to make the same mistake and continue to lose my life to this creature.
Yeah. But guess what? Like, the best part of that game is, like, when you died or when you fell,
mm-hmm.
everything was erased.
Right.
And
come
you
on
started
now.
Back from
come on.
And you started back from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was erased. Everything was forgotten. It, like, when you get back to that board,
right,
or you get back to that person,
right,
it's not, they don't remember you.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I'm
may
saying?
Have
you
lost a few rings.
Hey. But you're back,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
How about you?
But yeah, that's like you gotta. That's the way
like
I look
Sonic
at it.
In a whole new way. Now.
I'm telling you, man, because that's the way you have to. You have to use God's word and God's wisdom and your walk in faith to look at Sonic or look at things in life like that, and it helps you. Yeah, you get a revelation. You start to understand it a lot better.
Right.
So that's my revelation. Like that. That's why I think that's why people like talking to me. I'm sidebar. Like, I take the word or I take what I've learned, and I put it in those type of contexts. Mm-hmm. I don't just say, oh yeah, God this, God that, God. No, like, I'm gonna make it relatable to you.
Right.
Like, I want you to understand this is how it's written, but I'm gonna do it in layman's terms.
Yeah.
Right.
And then for those who feel like, you know, I'm going through this and like I'm at rock bottom, like I'm in a depressed state, like, don't allow yourself to stay there. Don't get to the point where, I mean, you can get to the point, and I can't say, like, I can't tell you that not to do it. I can't tell you, like, it's not possible that you may hit rock bottom, but that is your opportunity to rebuild your foundation. Clean slate, like you said, you start over, you've gone to the level, you've made the mistakes. Look, now is your opportunity to start over and figure out, reconnect, get in touch, pray, get into relationship with God, and start your journey over going the way that it should have gone, or the right. way that you were trying to get it to go. And it may be that there were things that may have happened in that you need to look back and reflect on and say, what was it that I was doing or that was going on or that was around me that I may need to remove, that I need to change, that I need to look at differently to get past this. But you have the opportunity, like, even your mistakes, even in your mistakes, you're still anointed. Mm-hmm. And your anointing still works. Mm-hmm. So don't ever allow that time where you may feel like I'm at the bottom of the bottom to stop you from getting past that point and right. moving forward in your journey.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things where within this journey, you have to understand, like, why you're doing what you're doing. Because mm-hmm. it's like, if someone was to come up to you and stop you in the street and asked you, why do you follow Jesus? What would your answer be?
Are you asking for
that? I mean, but we can put this on the thing. But yeah,
we got to answer that for
you. But mm-hmm. you have to understand, just answer it with your heart. Don't answer it in a church way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is why I follow, because he saved me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it could be as simple as that. Right. It doesn't have to be, because our father said this and this and this and this. Like, no. You follow Jesus because, I was suicidal. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I had suicide attempts and all of this other stuff. But guess what? He saved me.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why I follow Jesus. It's not because of this is what the Bible says. It's because this is why I follow him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. For me, it was just, he brought me out of some situations that could have led to death. Right. So that's why I follow Jesus. So, this is why I'm in relationship with God.
I think mine would be that in spite of all that I've done, he still loves
me. Exactly. That's good.
And that's the way it goes. It doesn't have to be overly spiritual because it's your walk.
And it's different for everybody. Just like it's different for all three of us.
Yeah.
It's different reasons. You don't have to have this reason. Like, if you give an answer, somebody will be like, oh, you ain't saved. No.
Right.
It's your journey.
Yeah. You shouldn't be scared to answer that question.
No,
different from somebody else or what the cliche churchy answer that everybody gives. It may even be that, but for you, you should have reason behind what you just said.
That cliche gonna be truth to you.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it has to be. If you don't, use the cliche. Hey, you still don't, I don't wanna make anybody feel bad. If you don't understand that part, but no, hey, just understand why you follow who you follow.
Right.
And there's no other reason. I can't say, because this pastor told me to follow Jesus. No, I follow him because he got me out of this when nobody else could. Because
listen, when you go to them pearly gates,
right,
he ain't going to say, who told you to follow me? He going to say, why do you follow me? What have you done?
Right.
He ain't going to ask about nobody else. He going to ask you about you.
Your conversation with God is going to be yours when you get there.
Right.
You ain't going to hell with me or heaven with me. So you know what I'm saying? So.
And you ain't got a heaven or hell to put me.
That part.
And don't, for these people in the journey too, don't feel bad about asking somebody about their journey or their walk and stuff. And for people that are being asked these questions, don't feel bad. Don't try and down these people for asking you that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole purpose is to give people answers.
Yeah.
Basically, just give the right answers.
Okay. So, another thing is, when we're on this journey, like we were just talking about, there's going to be questions. People are going to come to us asking questions. And it's we can't be scared to give answers because a lot of times we don't know in our own sense. So we may not know. And that's okay for us not to know because, again, we're all on a journey. But we have to be careful to give correct answers and not just our opinions and things.
Right.
So in James 1 and 2 talks about don't rush and teach on something that is, or teach what is responsible, and we have to have standards in what we do and what we speak on. So we just have to be careful with not giving our opinions as opposed to giving what is biblically true.
Yeah, your answer is not going to be perfect. So, speak the truth first.
Right.
And speak the word too in speaking the truth. So, your answer should be sound and sane when you say it.
Right.
And some of
Real quick, before you go there, because I just had something. When we are asked questions, if we don't know it, it's okay to say, you know what, I don't know. Let me research it, or let me ask somebody and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
It's okay, because in fact, again, we don't know all the answers. And again, that's okay.
Right.
We're on a journey. We're still learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's stuff, some stuff, I have questions about stuff that have not been answered yet. I'm still researching. I'm still learning. And I know that when the time comes, I will find that answer.
Right.
So.
Amen to that. So some of the questions that people may ask, and I'm sure this is common,
among people is, like, why do I feel alone in my walk or journey, whatever you want to call it? Or am I the only one who's experiencing this? And it's good to go to other people and kind of ask those questions. And, like, mm-hmm. if you feel like that, and you may need to pray on it, and it may, look, by divine intervention, somebody may come to you. And
oh, absolutely.
And that may be answered through conversation with somebody who you weren't even asking about that, but it will come up in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So be attentive to it. Mm-hmm. Or is it too late for me? It's never too late, mm-mm. for one.
Give us a new mercy every morning.
Amen. So, and God will meet you wherever you're at. Absolutely. Like, in the bottom of the pit, at the top of the hill, in the middle of the journey. Like, right. God will always meet you where you're at. And, like, another question people may ask is, like, where do I jump in? Start wherever you feel comfortable. Like, I think we talked about this before, like, figuring out, like, where do I need to jump in at? You need to look it up, honestly, because, like we said, you may need to look at the characters of the Bible. Characters.
I mean, it's a story.
Right.
I hate you. It's people in the Bible.
People of the Bible.
Yeah. You may need to start in the Gospels. You may need to start at the beginning. But figure out where you feel comfortable, where you can just be like, okay, I get it. I relate. I can understand. And go from there.
And real quick with that, you need to find a Bible that you can understand.
Right.
Everybody, the King James Version ain't for everybody.
It's not.
Right.
It definitely ain't for me.
So find a version of the Bible that you understand. And you, like we were talking in a couple episodes back, they have versions of the Bible, like the hard copy
mm-hmm.
Or like hardbound Bible, where it has multiple versions in the same Bible, where you can read one version and then you could go on the other side and see mm-hmm. that same scripture in a different version to kind of break it down for you.
Yeah. Another question that people may ask is, will I lose friends? It's possible.
No, you gonna lose friends.
Oh, it's very possible that you may lose friends.
If they in the world, you gonna lose friends. But if they're really for you and they're really your friends, they'll end up changing their lifestyle with you.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, they might step away, but they might see the change in you and be like, dang, like, I want somebody.
Or even if they don't change their lifestyle, they accept yours and don't try to sway you from your beliefs and
mm-hmm.
your Christian background.
Right, they respect you.
That's a true friend.
Yeah.
Right.
One way we need you guys to, like, think of your journey is, there's this image that I'm sure you guys have all seen on social media. I mean, it's always at the end of the year, 2020, it's coming to an end. You're going to see it. And it's the image of the straight and narrow, straight line. This is my plan from start to the end. And then there's the reality where you start off on a straight road and all of a sudden you drop off on a cliff and then you get back up. And you get to the top of the hill, and then you hit another bump in the road, and then you go up the hill again. Like, and it continues on and on and on. But we need you to understand, like, life is not going to go down a straight and narrow path.
Right.
Like, you can look at your own life and go back and see, like, the moments where it fell to pieces, or you thought it fell to pieces. That's a part of your journey. And don't look at it as, like, oh, I wish I had never gone through it. Take it as a lesson.
Right.
The mistakes, the accidents, the things, the choices that you made are all a part of your journey. So accept it for what it is and move forward from it. Because if you do, you will reach your goal. You will reach the end of your journey.
Yeah,
like, and it's real crazy. I mean, this sidebar, we didn't even talk about this beforehand, but I was reading this morning. It was Matthew 7. Verse 14, it was like, when Jesus is basically explaining to them, he was like, how narrow is the gate and difficult the road is mm-hmm. that leads to life.
Mm-hmm.
A few will find it. And it was like, be on guard against false prophets and all, blah, blah, blah. But it basically is like, nah,
if you,
like,
don't give up.
Yeah, if you don't give up. So it's like, nah, like, you have to, you're going to go through these trials. You're going to go through this stuff, but it leads to life.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. So what y'all think about, like, what gets the X in crossing this thing?
I would say an X is thinking that your mistakes are the end. Like, that's it. Once you've made the mistake, that you have no other choices. You don't have an opportunity to start over again.
Yeah. I would think for me, an X would be that you have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
That you, like, you can't help any, or you can't ask for help. That you feel that it's just you and you alone on this.
I'm trying to think too. I'm like, I think y'all got some good ones. So with the cross, I think what needs to be taken up is just your understanding your relationship with God. Like, that's what you take up to God. Like, that's what you bring to the cross.
Yeah. Another cross I would say is thinking that you aren't able to ask questions. Like, you should be able to ask questions. Like, you should be able to take those questions to God. You should be able to take those questions to other Christians, people that you look up to in your church, and not feel like you can't say anything to anybody.
Right. So yeah, so y'all have heard what we feel, so we want to know from you. So this week's social media question would be, are you where you feel you should be on your spiritual journey? Me? Can answer mine. No, I don't. But that's the beauty of it. It's a journey. So I'm still growing, and I'm happy to grow, because the more I grow, the stronger I get. So, but you can answer this on Facebook and IG, where you can find us at Relationship X Religion on both.
All right, y'all. So just to recap real quick. So understand, we are all on a journey, and none of us have made it, period, point blank. Absolutely. It's a road that is not straight, but just as Keys had pointed out to you in Matthew's, that, you know, those who continue on the road, it will lead you to life if you don't give up. So take every hit, take every mistake, every lesson, and use it to keep going. Don't ever think that God has ever abandoned you or left you. God is always with you, and he's always there and waiting on you to say, you know what, God, I need you. I need you to help me. I need wisdom. I need to help figuring this out. And in that journey, there's a possibility that you may lose some people on the way. You'll gain some other people, and that's okay. But realize that if you don't stop, if you don't let go of the opportunity that you have to grow, then you're going to make it. Just don't allow yourself to give up. And a quote that we want you guys to leave you guys with is, life is the only place where you have the test before the lesson. So you'll be tested in life, but just know that there'll be a lesson that comes along with it. There's not always that you will learn before you go. And that, I mean, life doesn't work like that, honestly, where you already have an idea of what's going to happen before you go through it. Usually it is the test, and you learn from it. So with that being said,
how we always close, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced by the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.